In today's episode, we tackle the 6 most common mistakes churches make on social media. Every church should be using social in 2020, but using it the right way is more important than ever before. Listen in to learn what your church can do to get the most out of each social platform. Get this right, and your church will reach more people and grow. You're listening to the Reach Right podcast, the show dedicated to helping pastors and church leaders reach people the right way. Hosted by me, Thomas Costello, and with me as always is my co-host, Ian Hyatt. We're here to help your church see more visitors and grow. Well, hey guys, Thomas Costello here from Reach Right. Thanks for joining us here for episode 6 of the Reach Right podcast. And with me as always is my co-host,
Ian Hyatt. Hey guys, and hey Thomas.
Hey Ian, looking forward to having our conversation today. I think we have a good one planned.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking today about the 6 biggest social media mistakes that we see churches make. Ian and I, we have the pleasure of talking to churches all over the country, and we see a lot of churches really knocking it out of the park with a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
But we also see a lot of churches that make some pretty heinous mistakes when it comes to social media. We're going to tackle some of those that we see probably most often. We've seen some funny stuff over the years, and we have the pleasure. I mean, Ian, we've been doing this since 2006, 2007, coaching churches on technology stuff. So
yeah,
really, it was MySpace when we started, right?
Oh gosh, that's so funny. Anytime someone says MySpace, I automatically chuckle these days. But I had a MySpace account. I'm sure you did too.
I did too before I even knew you. You didn't even make my friend wall where you chose your top friends because I didn't even know you at the time, Ian, back
that's
in
right.
2007,
right.
2006.
Yep.
So we've seen a coming of age of social media in the last 14 years, I guess. So the chief of those is still Facebook and many other different platforms that churches should be using. And
yeah,
I guess we just want to tackle some of those kinds of mistakes that we see.
Yeah. Yeah. You said heinous. That's a strong word, but I guess there definitely can be some heinous mistakes, but hopefully we don't get too heinous. But
we've seen some ones. We won't get into specifics of them, I don't think.
Yeah.
Or we don't want to point anybody out specifically, but I've seen some pretty heinous video that I've seen from churches over the years. I think you can remember some of the funny ones that we've seen there. Sometimes it's just mistakes, but sometimes it's like, I can't believe people would preach a message like that. I've seen that kind of stuff on
and
social
sometimes
media.
Sometimes those go viral too. So
yeah. Absolutely. Yes, so. Yeah. So you don't, this is the guide to not going viral for bad reasons. We don't want churches to do that. So anyway, well, why don't you kick us off with number one?
Yeah, number one is what we've affectionately titled Leaving It All on Social. And that means basically just trying to do everything on social media or just on Facebook specifically is probably where we see this mistake happen the most, is just with churches doing just everything on their Facebook page. Really what that means is, you know, social media has a specific purpose and you can use it, you know, in several different ways, but there's just a lot of things it's not going to do everything for you, put it that way. So, we know that, especially, I think even before the pandemic that we're all still going through here, most churches were doing Facebook Live. So we know that's kind of like, that's a given thing that a church should continue to still do. And so that was one thing. But now I think what we still see is a lot of, and I think churches are learning and catching on to it now because of what this pandemic has brought awareness to, is that we need to really up our game on our web presence in general. But I think we still see a lot of churches just trying to communicate everything on Facebook. So that's not only their Facebook Live, their services there. It's also trying to integrate like online giving through that, which is, I've talked to many churches where they've had such a struggle for that, and that makes sense. They're trying to handle like maybe all of their registration there for whatever people are, you know, registering trying to register for, which is also a pretty difficult task to accomplish there. And then even it being probably one of the ones that I think is the biggest mistake is trying to really tell, communicate who your church is and all the information and content that people are interested when they're looking into a church or looking for a new church home, trying to dump all of that there. It just doesn't work on just, you know, social media or Facebook.
Well, when you say that, so what do you mean? Where should people be putting it instead of just on Facebook?
Yeah, well, number one place is your website, because you can control a lot more there, right? I mean, you can't control what Facebook actually, there's been a lot of churches that have seen a lot of their content that they post just get shut down by Facebook. That's one issue. But also just with your website, you can control the content a lot more. You can actually create pages that are, you know, interactive and well-designed pages. You can't do that within Facebook. So, you know, if you're going to put your values and your beliefs and all of that on Facebook, it's just going to get lost after one post. And so your website, I think, would be the number one place where you can really, where you can communicate everything.
Yeah, I think what I see is that with all social platforms, one of the challenges is doing the calls to action, because their main goal of a social network is to keep people on their site as long as possible and show them as many ads as possible. Yeah. And so what the problem with that is that when we say you give a message and you put that online, you stream it on Facebook, that's great. I think that's an important place. You should be probably putting your messages onto Facebook. But the problem is when it comes to calling people to action for that, that's where it really gets challenging, is because they don't want you to call people to action to go off of their platform and onto your site, because then they can't keep serving them ads. So unless you're paying for it, you can't have a little button on your Facebook videos that say, click here to give, or click here to get signed up for an event, because that takes them off of Facebook and onto your website. And really, that's something that we want to be doing, is we want to get people onto our own platforms and be able to call them to action and be able to engage better that way. Is that right?
That's exactly it. So, and that's a good point as far as keeping them there for advertising and all of that, and the calls to action, like what I mentioned, registration. And now we covered this, last week or the week before, that, you know, there's so much more, because of where we find ourselves in this season, there's so much more that needs to happen with calls to action. You know, people filling out prayer request forms and like we said, just an online connection card, if you will. That stuff is just going to be so much better served and presentable on like your website. So
yeah, absolutely. It's just that you have that flexibility to do that on your site, and that's super important. So let me tackle number two, I guess, because that kind of leads us into this here. The second mistake we see churches make a lot is not posting often enough. They and you've probably seen this before, I'm sure. Anybody that's on a church social media platform, you'll see that post that was put out like 6 months ago, and there hasn't been anything since then. And I find that it's most often on some of the less used platforms. Like, so there was a time where every church thought, hey, we have to be on every social platform. That's what we need to do. We need to sign up for all of them, and we need to post on all of them. And then what tends to happen is you keep kind of posting on Facebook, but your Twitter accounts and your LinkedIn accounts and sometimes your Instagram, those kind of, you forget to post on those. And I can't tell you, I'm honestly surprised when I get onto a church's Twitter account and find a recent post. find that it's more often the case that there isn't a post, and there hasn't been one since 2017 or something like that on Twitter. Now, I'm a Twitter user. That's probably I spend the most time on that social platform. What do you use mostly personally, and what platforms are you on?
Thanks for mentioning that, because I think what you just identified is, I think we've learned now that not every social media platform, you don't have to do it all. You'll find that some just fit better for you or your church. And for me, it's still Facebook. You know, sometimes I've been very close lately because of just all of the politics. We have a whole point and a point and topic on that. But, you know, I've been very close to wanting to leave Facebook, but that's still where most of my friends are. And that's still where I'm at and do most of my posting. Although I have now started using Instagram a lot more. So, but I would say Facebook is still number one for me. So,
yeah, you're one of the kids, man, getting on Instagram.
I'm trying to stay young, you know, so that's, I have to get on Instagram to stay relevant.
Yeah. So I find that I use Facebook some. I find that I personally, for my own use, I really like to use Twitter because I feel like I get to hear directly from some of the smartest people in the world on that. So I follow a certain set of people in the church and ministry world. I have interests in finance and investing. So I follow a bunch of people in those areas. And you actually, some people have people that are posting for them on there, and brands usually do. But I find that a lot of people individually and personally use Twitter to give their real thoughts on real topics. And so I feel like I learn the most on Twitter. That's why I like that. I use Instagram also. I feel like it's great for, I like it because it's usually less political. Right. I know my wife and my daughter, they both use TikTok now. Yeah. So I don't know if you have any TikTokers in your house.
My 12-year-old daughter, yes.
TikTok, yeah, it's a little scary with all that. But we're recording this on August 13th of 2020, and there's all kinds of drama right now about TikTok getting shut down and it getting bought out by Microsoft. There's lots of talk around that. But I guess the point in all of this is that I find that there's certain platforms that are notorious for getting orphaned by churches. And in most cases, it's probably better just to shut that down if you don't have the manpower or the time to be updating on those channels. But let me ask you this. What is, I have my own thoughts, but maybe you can share. What are your thoughts on how often churches should be posting on social networks? Do you have any thoughts on that kind of thing?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I think, you know, off the top of my head, the number one thing that comes to mind is as often as possible. Now, we don't also want to barrage people. You know, with just a crazy amount of posts each day or something like that. I think a lot of it also depends on your church. And one of the points you just touched on, Thomas, is how you can manpower this, meaning, because you got to choose your battles. You got to have the people in place, or a champion, if you will, one person in place that's going to be committed and devoted to posting regularly. So that's a key thing to consider with it. But I think, you know, when you look at what some of the more successful churches have done, is they really have at least one post a day, is from what I've seen, or at least every other day, I would say. That's what I see, that with churches with the biggest following on social media and engagement there are doing something around that time frame.
I think for Facebook, that's a good rule of thumb. I think posting daily is a good goal for our audience out there. If you're not doing that, I think you start to lose some traction if you're not posting daily on that platform. Mm-hmm. I think Twitter, for Twitter, it's different, because where Facebook, they have an algorithm that really limits your reach. If you're posting, if you post 10 times a day, you still get almost the same kind of reach in some cases as if you post once or twice a day. Whereas Twitter, it's more chronological. So I think that you can actually put out shorter posts on Twitter, 3, 4, 5 times a day. I think there's some value to that. Other networks like Instagram, I think maybe a few times a week is good. And then with things like TikTok or those kinds of channels, if you're able to put together a TikTok video once a week, that's a huge win, I think. And really something that I think a lot of churches should explore. Your younger audience is probably on there for churches. And so, it takes some creativity. Get some young people to help you with that. I think that'd be a good thing. But not posting often enough. I'd rather you post too much than post too little. So I think the second thing is just leaving content that doesn't get out there very often and not posting often enough. I think that's something that's a challenge for a lot of churches there. So why don't you hit number three for us?
Yeah, it's a good segue into number three, because, even though you want to post often, what you're posting often is key. And so our third point is making everything promotional. So if we're making everything too promotional on our social media outlets, I think we get away from what social media was originally designed for, apparently, was for connection. And we'll talk more about that and being conversational, relational, and all of that. But yeah. I think that that's the key thing, is that I think the temptation for churches specifically is that, you know, and even though right now we joked about this last week, but even though we were talking about how there's not as much going on as far as events and those things right now in this crazy season we're in, still, anytime there is something to promote, that's the temptation for churches, is that I'm going to promote this key speaker coming out, or I'm going to promote the next big event we have, you know, or series. And if people just keep seeing that over and over again, we've already seen, you know, Facebook in particular become so advertising driven that people right. already kind of, they're seeing that always. So if your church is just going to also just be an ad that they see or a promotion, they're just not going to be as engaged as much, because, you know, let's face it, if we get down to what our you know, the great commandment is here, is for us to connect with people. And it's a great commission, I should say. I'm reading my Bible. I didn't mean to say great commandment. I know the difference. The
I was
going to
let it slide. I figured you did. But,
yeah. Your pastoral rebuke almost came there. You know, have you been reading your Bible? So, but that is for us to go and make disciples. How do we do that? We do that by being relational and connecting with people. And I think that that's just, we got to be reminded that that's what the drive is for.
Yeah, I think a good rule of thumb for our audience, if they're thinking about, you know, how much relational, how much story-driven conversational content should I put out, and how much promotional content, I think it's probably 5-1. That was always my rule. So if you're posting once a week, you know, no more than two messages or two posts on social media or Facebook should be sign up for this, get involved with this, right. serve in this, give for this, one or two a week. And then the other five or six each week should be, you know, let's engage. What do you think about this? What's your favorite flavor of ice cream? You know, that kind of conversational, fun, get engaged kind of content is what we should be looking for. So do you have any ideas for people on if I think this is a trap a lot of churches fall into, is putting out promotional, event driven, that kind of content a lot. What should they be putting out there instead of that? What kind of content should people be creating?
Exactly. Because I think that's a good question. Is so now if a church is saying, well, then what else do I do other than, you know, because promotional things are easy to think of, right? Because they're going on. You got to get a little more creative when it comes to the relational things. First thing that comes to mind is let's get some testimonials or tell some story, you know, personal stories. We covered this last week about how that's a really good thing to do even during a message, is to stop and tell a story about how, you know, some, whether or not someone was saved or they just have had a turnaround. Because again, even now more so in this pandemic time, are people craving real authentic relationship and connection with people. And even though there's a challenge for that, the great thing about sharing testimonials or stories on Facebook or social media is that, you know, people are going to relate to that right away. And not only that, because of the nature of social media, they can comment on that. And whenever they comment that, you know, if someone, let's just say someone was healed, you know, they had a big healing, or they just, their finances were restored and God did this, you know, not only do all the people that are connected to your social media page, are they going to see that, they can comment on it. Then their friends see that comment. And why would we not want to get that in there? And again, in response to evangelism, this is a great way to also just bring that storytelling and that testimony to as many eyes as possible and tie them back to your church for it. So that's one big thing. And I think that if, again, you got to count the cost, right? There's there is some work to be done on getting stories, and whether or not that's video or just written, you got to count the cost and have someone on top of that. But if I would say one thing, that's that would be the first one that comes to mind.
Yeah, I think of it this way. I think that there needs to be a shift in the way we think about what social media is doing. I think when I see a church that's putting out mostly promotional content for other things on social media, what it says to me is that their way of thinking about social media is that it's a tool to get people engaged with real ministry. And they don't think of social media itself as a place where real ministry can happen. And if we really think about that, that social media is a platform where real ministry is already taking place. Now, you may not be a part of it, but it is taking place on there.
Yeah.
If we think about it that way, it makes you think through everything you post and think about how it's almost like that time that pastors spend before or after service shaking hands, giving hugs, connecting and praying with people. Yeah. A lot of that is available to us online now, where we can have that kind of intimacy and connection with people and engage with them on a personal level. That can take place right on there, but it doesn't take place through promotional content. It's usually through engaging, storytelling, conversational kind of content. Does that seem right?
It does seem right. And even if, funny thing about mentioning the promotional piece again, if someone talked about how awesome your big event was and how God touched them, well, then there's a good opportunity to make that promotional piece, a storytelling piece too. Yeah. So it's one of those deals to where it's most certainly it's a natural thing. That's the way I'd put it, is that it's more natural, if we think of it that way, on social media to tell stories and testimonials than it is to even just promote things.
Could you imagine if you ran into your pastor at church in the foyer on the way out of church one Sunday and, you ask him some questions about, hey, how's the family, those kinds of things. And all he responds with is, hey, are you coming to this event? Are you coming to this event? Have you been giving? Like that's the kind of thing that I think that we miss on social media. Just because it's digital doesn't mean that we can have an impersonal kind of an approach. I think you're right on that there. So, and that leads me to number four. I'll kind of share this one next. Is I think one of the mistakes that churches make, the fourth one, is not posting on multiple platforms. Now, that might sound like in contrast to what we were saying before about people posting on platforms that they aren't really using actively. And that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that it's good, that you should use every platform just because it's there. But I think one of the things a lot of churches and leaders in churches miss is that the hard work of social media is not the actual posting, it's the creating of the content. And most pieces of content can be used on multiple platforms. Yeah. So if your church is taking photos of something that's happening there or an outreach that you're doing, and you're doing what we talked about before, you're trying to tell the story of an outreach through photography, well, you should probably, if you're on these platforms, you should put it on Facebook, but it should also go onto your Instagram account. And if you're using Twitter, you should put it on there too. And if there's a blurb to go with it, maybe it should go on to LinkedIn. And you can put that content on multiple platforms. If you're making a video, you're doing yourself a disservice if you're not putting it onto YouTube and also getting it onto Facebook video and getting it onto TikTok and getting it onto Instagram, because the heavy lifting is in the making of the content, not on posting. And there's lots of tools that churches use. Sometimes it's best to use the native posting function of Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. But I think if you are trying to get it onto multiple platforms, what we use at ReachRite, what I've used at my church in the past, is we've used a program called Buffer. You can post with that on up to four social platforms for free. If you're willing to pay like $10 a month, you can post up to 10 different platforms at the same time. So you create one post and it goes out to, for us on at ReachRite, we go out to our LinkedIn accounts, it goes out to Facebook, it goes out to Instagram, it goes out to Twitter, all in one swoop. It takes about an extra 5 seconds to get it onto all of them, just to say these are the ones I wanted to go on to. So I think you're probably wasting a lot of effort if you're not getting it onto lots of platforms. What do you think?
I think that's it too, because, and we got to think about this now, it's not just to our how we jokingly referred to MySpace, but that was like the only one back then. So, you know, you did everything there. But and for a little while, I think it was mostly Facebook. And we've talked a lot about Facebook, probably too much even, because now there's a big demographic of people that are going to just be on Instagram and that have left Facebook, or they're only using LinkedIn. I've actually had quite a few conversations with people that are really enjoying LinkedIn, and that's their main one. And that's not just because they're looking for a job. There's actually more networking you can do. I think a lot of people that, when they first hear of LinkedIn, they're like, well, I don't need a job right now, I'm fine. But there's a lot more you can do with LinkedIn. And I think too, is just that it looks more, it makes your church look more relevant when you're using more than one. You know, if someone just, you know, if you're only using Facebook, well, it kind of just says, hey, you know, we're just kind of limping along and only just we're on social media. Yeah, we're on Facebook. Right. No, there's I think you got to count the cost. So we're not saying do 10, right. but we're saying at least a couple or so. And there's tools, there's ways to do that without having to like you said, we don't have to have three different volunteers running each social media platform.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that. There's ways that it can post and just go out wherever you need it to. So totally agree.
Yeah, that's good. Why don't you hit number five for us?
Number five, I think we'll both have a little bit to say about this one. It's this one might be a funny one. It's very relevant, but let's not talk politics too much, you know, and it's particularly for churches. This is a big one for churches too. We've seen a lot of churches get political. We've seen, and whether or not that it's from either side, right or left, but I think that is a big no-no right now because everyone's seeing politics with every other post on Facebook or social media right now, right? So they're, I personally am all about staying informed, but that's not my number one goal whenever I'm on Facebook is just to be barraged with politics. And if you're doing that as a church, I think it really does, it steers people away from the main mission of the church. I think the main mission of the church is to lead people to Jesus, right? So, that's, I think, should be the number one thing. So, and I know you've probably have some things to say about it. You've been seeing a lot of probably the same that I've been seeing or more. And of course, you being on Twitter, I'm sure you're seeing a lot of politics. There's plenty on Twitter.
So I think the thing is that Instagram is great because it limits the amount of, you can't link off to political articles and that kind of stuff. Right. So usually my Instagram is like the most politics free social channel that I can look at. So I try to stay more on there. Twitter, I don't get too into the political side of things, but I want to come at it from the perspective of a pastor who has tried to navigate this. I pastored a church for 6 years in Madison, Wisconsin, which is kind of they call it the Berkeley of the Midwest. It's a very liberal pocket in the middle of a mostly red kind of a state. And I was pastoring an evangelical, spirit-filled kind of a church there. And I made a lot of missteps when I first started there. I think when it came to my own personal social media use, certainly not the church use. And I think this is kind of a dual focused point here because it applies not just to your church's Facebook, but to pastors and how you personally use Facebook and your social channels. And I think what's important is that I found that steering clear of politics in general was a really important rule for me. And a lot of times we're in this culture now where even that is seen as a political message for pastors that when people will say to them, you'll hear these messages out there like, if you don't stand up and say something about this issue right now, then you're against us or we'll assume the opposite about you. And that just doesn't fly with me. You know, I think that's something that that's a hill I'm probably willing to die on. And I think about it this way. Here's how I didn't have the pleasure of pastoring or the challenge, I guess, of pastoring in all the politics around COVID-19, all the politics around the George Floyd protests and Black Lives Matter. I think that's a whole new set of things. I was pastoring in the middle of the gay marriage debate that was happening, and I was asked weekly, at least, to give my thoughts and my opinion on this kind of stuff. And do I have thoughts as a evangelical pastor on this topic? Absolutely, I do. But I thought about it for a second. Usually when people would ask me these kinds of questions or insist that I post something about some of these topics, it was to try to get me to take a position so that it could stir more controversy. And I think about the way that Jesus handled that. Back in his day, the question was around that whole season was about tithing. And it was about the Sabbath. Some of those questions about Sabbath was a really big one. And they would try to ask Jesus questions to take a position on whether or not it was okay for his disciples to be what seemed like breaking some of those Sabbath rules. They would walk in fields and they would heal people, for instance, on the Sabbath. Yep. Jesus would do a healing on the Sabbath. And you'll remember the Pharisees would try to trap him and get him to say, hey, is it okay to do a healing on the Sabbath? And yeah. you'll remember that Jesus didn't come and put his position out there. He would respond with another question. He'd ask them a question that they didn't want to answer. And then he would say, neither will I answer your question.
Yeah.
And I think what the point is that Jesus was really careful not to let other people dictate what his message was going to be. Yep. He had a message. It was given to him by the Father. He was there to give it. And I think pastors, if those of you that are listening to this out there, let me say, you have that same position right now. You have a message given to you by the Father, and you have a job to deliver it. And there are so many people right now that are, their desire is to take you off message, to have you choose a side. And right now, our politics are so divisive that any side you choose on just about every issue, you alienate 50% of the people that need to hear the gospel by taking that position. So my encouragement to pastors is to stay rooted and focused on what that gospel message is. Don't let anybody else dictate what your message is. Unless you feel a real conviction from the Father, don't feel obligated or forced into taking a position on every single political issue that comes up, and certainly be cautious with it on Facebook. Yeah. That's my thoughts on that. What do you think?
I totally agree really with that. And I think from a pastoral standpoint, as you've identified, that's really good. I mean, I think that's a large portion of our audience that listens to this. And I think that it's just a challenge that a lot of pastors are going through right now is, you know, what do I do? And yeah, like you've said, and someone might even say that your explanation right there was political, even though I don't think it was.
Sure.
Just when you address your viewpoint on what people are saying we have to say these days and all of those things. I think that too, you know, having pastored myself and being in ministry, God's word does a really good job of kind of cutting through all of that stuff. Just takes it's a kingdom viewpoint. It's above what we're dealing with in the world right now. And it also steers people to God loves everyone. He loves Democrats and Republicans. He loves independents, if there's many of those these days after everything's so divided. But anyway, so I think that steering it back to that is always the best practice. And I totally agree. It's actually a good segue into the last point too, Thomas. Go ahead and tackle that, because I think that this goes with our topic today, you know, back to what really I think the main focus should be.
Yeah, I think we kind of hit on this a little bit in number three when we were talking about making everything promotional. But I think the last one, number six, is that we are not conversational enough when it comes to the way we connect with people on social media. I think for pastors, like we were saying before, this is your foyer in a lot of ways. This is the place where people will engage and have conversations, and you have a unique place where you can connect with people 7 days a week. There are people online that you can have connection with. So sometimes it's just as simple as liking people's posts. But I would encourage pastors to be encouragers, be Barnabases when it comes to their social media channels, personally and through the church. Use it as a place to start conversations, to encourage people. And the mistake I think that churches make a lot is that they will put their posts out there, but they will skip the commenting part and the conversational part. They won't chime in and kind of add and bring encouragement to people on their own posts. And I think there's a huge opportunity for that. What do you think?
I think so. And what comes to mind with that mistake that we're seeing is that they'll just make a statement about something or a post and not ask a question. A lot of how a good conversation is started is asking someone, how's your day going?
Yeah.
You know, you might be, I'm not saying do just a generic one like that on social media, but if you may want to ask how people's days are going, you might be surprised what they say there, and you might have an opportunity to pray for them.
That's right.
But you know, I think that that's it. I think that again, the temptation is always, it's really easy for us to, you know, post about something promotional or an event or something top, and we forget. We're talking to people. We need to, you know, let's start a conversation. Again, you got to keep up with those comments and everything. And not everyone expects you to reply right away. So, but you know, again, you got to count the cost there, but it's worth it. It's worth the cost of following up with people. Cause again, you're going to get more people connected to you and engaged. We talked about engagements. The big word in this season is and people engage by relationship and conversation, not just having stuff thrown at them.
Yep. And so a little bit of insight into how almost all social platforms, how their algorithms work, is that your posts go a lot farther when there are comments and conversation happening on them than anything else. So if someone comes and clicks like on a post, well, that gives it a little bit of juice. If you click a heart on Twitter, it gives it a little bit of juice. It might show it to a few more people. But if someone shares a post, it goes out to their audience. But if somebody comments, that actually really starts to get the algorithm moving on these things, and it starts to give it more and more audience because it really likes comments. And when there's a long string of comments here, think about it this way. When someone has a big life event, say they have a baby, they get married, they get engaged, something like that, then usually people feel compelled to not just click a like button, but they'll say, hey, congratulations, so excited for you. They'll kind of celebrate with you. And that's why those posts always have hundreds and hundreds of comments and a couple hundred likes. It's, you know, when you put up something that's controversial or something that's just a normal life picture or a picture of your dinner, you might get a comment. It doesn't go as far, but right. It's those major life ones that have all the comments of people saying congrats. Yep. Those get the furthest reach. So the moral of this is that you need to do everything you can to inspire conversation on all of your posts. I would say as a rule, you should make almost all of your posts something that have some kind of a response be the call to action. So that's why sometimes even those silly posts do so well. Like if you were to post something like, butter pecan is the best flavor of ice cream. Do you agree or disagree? You're going to get a lot of responses to that, and you're going to get a lot more reach on a post like that than something that's a deep theological truth that people just click a lot of likes on.
So some of these have been, you make me think about, before I lose it, because these have been what I've been seeing a lot lately is that you have like 10 of your favorite foods. So you have hamburgers and tacos, and you have or there's a margarita or there's a soda, and it says, seven of these must go, and you only keep three. Those people just jump on stuff like that.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the reason for that is they're tricking the algorithm into thinking we all know that's not really interesting content, but it's tricking the algorithm into thinking that it's interesting content because lots of people are commenting and, they may find ways to change this. Again, if we were to have recorded this message or this podcast 2 years ago, our advice would have probably been different because the algorithms change all the time and these are evolving platforms. But for 2020, I think the key is making conversation, getting comments on there, and you control that by asking good questions that people are likely to respond to. So I think you're right on that. So anything else as we kind of wrap up here today, Ian?
My final thought would be is just as you guys may be listening to this podcast, now is the best time to jump on this and do this. I mean, we know what we've all been going through right now. People are, and it's kind of funny talking about how I really don't comment much on, if I want to keep tacos or hamburgers in my life and I had to get rid of one. But I'll tell you, they're a little more bored right now. They're lacking relationship and they're hungry. They're hungry for
tacos
life
and burgers.
Hungry for tacos and burgers. What do they call it? The COVID poundage people have been putting on, the COVID 10 or the 10 pounds that everyone's getting. But I think too, whether or not they know it or not, they're more hungry for God. Than ever. Yeah. And I think this is the thing to jump on because of what has happened during this year. So we would just challenge everyone listening to this to get on this, get on this and you'll see some better results.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. We'll leave it at that for today. Thank you guys so much for watching or listening. Again, if this has been something that has been good for you and you appreciate it, we'd love it if you would subscribe, rate, review, do all those things. Help us get the word out there about the Reach Right podcast. Thanks so much for connecting with us, and we'll see you next week.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Reach Right podcast. We hope this episode will help you reach people the right way. Looking for more resources for your church? Check us out online at reachrightstudios.com. If this episode has been helpful to you, it would mean the world to us if you would rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.